The following podcast is presented by Wellspring of Life Church, a community of faith, hope, and purpose.
The scripture we're going to cover this morning is Matthew 6, 24. We're going to start there. I usually start out with a little story. And if you're one of those note takers, if you're kind of an OCD person and like to have title of the message, the message this morning is don't be anxious about your life. So if you want that, there's that out for you. And again, it's Matthew 6, 24. We'll get there in a second, but I want to start out with a little story. It's called Afraid of the Dark. A little boy was afraid of the dark. One night, his mother told him to go out to the back porch and bring her the broom. The little boy turned to his mother and said, "Mama, I don't want to go out there. It's dark." The mother smiled reassuringly at her son. "You don't have to be afraid of the dark," she explained. "Jesus is out there, and he'll look after you and protect you." The little boy looked at his mother real hard and asked, "Are you sure he's out there?" She said, "Yes, I'm sure. He is everywhere, and he's always ready to help you when you need him," she said. The little boy thought about it for a minute and then went to the back door, cracked it open a little bit, and peering out into the darkness, he called, "Jesus, if you're out there, would you please hand me the broom?" All right. So he was willing to go to the door, but not quite out there. Okay, so what I want to talk about this morning, like I said, is anxiety. And just real quick, I'm going to read through Matthew 6, 24 through 33, if you want to follow along. Matthew 6, 24, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And it says money there, but I think that you can probably interject anything in there. It doesn't have to be money. It could be your job. It could be your relationships. It could be anything. So if we put anything ahead of what, ahead of a relationship with God, it's going to throw it off and we're going to have anxiety. Verse 25, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" Verse 28, "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" 31, "Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Amen. Yep. In the past, there have been kings and dictators who find it very effective to keep their subjects in constant anxiety. If people are anxious about their life and worry about where their next meal is coming from, then perhaps they will be more willing to do the king's bidding in order to get the food they need from the king's storehouse. Anxiety keeps them in their place. Fear makes a kingdom strong. We live in an age of anxiety. I think we would all agree with that. A lot of stuff going on. Whether it's personal concerns, family matters, financial needs, health issues, politics, global conditions, we all have reasons to worry or fret. We take our worries to bed with us. We wake up with them and carry them around with us all day long. This is not how God wants us to live. But one of the greatest things about Jesus is that he does not want his people to be anxious. The main point of today's message that I hope I get across, it made sense to me when I put this together, but it may not make sense to you, I don't know. The main point is that God does not secure his sovereignty by cultivating anxiety. On the contrary, the aim of God's sovereignty is to free us from anxiety. God doesn't need to keep us anxious in order to establish his power and superiority in our lives. Instead, he exalts his power and superiority by working to take away our anxiety. If we are born again, which I hope everybody in this room is, we have turned away from sin and are following Jesus as Lord in the obedience of faith. His will for us this morning is that we not be anxious about anything, but that we enjoy deep serenity, peace, and security. Jesus spoke these words in Matthew precisely for us to help us overcome whatever is making us anxious this morning. Now, I threw in here what kind of prompted this message for me is my own kind of personal struggle that I've been going through. Probably in the months of April through July. And that's why this message is probably more for me than anybody else in this room. I've been feeling anxious about being able to take care of my family. And I will say this is all brought on by myself. And that's what we do a lot of times. When we lose focus on our relationship with Christ, we focus on the situation. And then we lose focus. And then we put other things in front of our relationship with Him, which creates anxiety. We have everything that we need, but I have it in my mind that I need to work harder, work more jobs, to provide for my family. Or at least I have that feeling that I think I need to do that I need to do more and more. And by doing that, I just create more anxiety. And it just drives me nuts because I go to bed with it and I wake up with it and I don't need to do that. And what happens is because I'm doing that, I'm causing more harm in my family than good. When I ask my wife about, am I doing enough? She says, of course. And I've got it in my mind that I'm not. So that's kind of what has brought this whole thing on. Thank God I'm starting to get to the point where things are starting to flip around, where the relationship is becoming more, I guess, more in tune than what I'm doing or trying to do. Because I get to the point where I sit at my desk and I eat lunch at my desk probably 4 or 5 days a week. And I'll sit there and I'll get on Indeed.com at work and look for another job, whether it's out of state. And that would create us having to have two households for a while. It's just crazy. And I was just driving myself nuts doing that. Thankfully, through prayer and just asking God to intervene. And I mean, I'll sit there at my desk, pull up my little policeman's Bible, and I'll read devotions at work before I start my day. And that has helped tremendously. So like I said, it was just a constant struggle. I would wake up every morning and go to bed with it every night. And it was getting to me more than I could handle. I had a little, when I actually came up with this quote myself, so if you want to write it down, it's going to be gold, I'm telling you. So when we are not content, we become anxious. How's that? Pretty good? Thank you. Okay. Feel free to share that with others. All right. Everybody can see plainly that the main point of this text that we read this morning is that the disciples of Jesus should not be anxious. Verse 25 says, do not be anxious about your life. Verse 31 says, do not be anxious saying, what shall we eat? 34 says, do not be anxious about tomorrow. So one thing should ring in our ears when we leave here this morning, and it's namely this: Jesus doesn't want us to be anxious. That is the negative way of going through those verses, but the positive way of saying these, about talking about this passage, is found in verse 33, which namely says, instead of being anxious, seek first God's kingdom. In other words, when we think about our lives or our food or our clothes or our job or our spouse or if we're in the mission field or whatever, we cannot freak out about that stuff. We can't fret about those things. Instead, we need to make God the king in that situation, or our situations, and in that moment, and hand over the situation to his kingly power and do his righteous will with the confidence that he will work for us and meet all of our needs. And that's one of the things that I struggled with. I thought I had to be the one that met those needs, and that's not true. To seek the sovereignty of God first in every situation and in every moment of life is a thrilling way to live, and it's a much more peaceful way to live. It's full of freedom and peace and joy and adventure, and yes, there is hardship. We all know that to be true, but it is worth it. If we believe in the sovereignty of our Heavenly Father, we do not need to be anxious about anything. So I want to look at some of the reasons why, and I have come up with Eight reasons why Jesus gives why his disciples should not be anxious. Life is more than food and clothing. In verse 25, it says, "Do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on." And you ask why? It's because life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. So you ask yourself, well, what does that mean? Why do we tend to get anxious about food and clothing? Kind of obvious, I would think. There are three things that we would lose if we didn't have food and clothing. First, we would lose pleasures. Food tastes good, for the most part. Steak and lobster is good. It's pleasurable to eat. Second, we would lose human praise and admiring glances if we didn't have nice clothes. Third, we lose long life if we had no food or if we didn't have clothes to protect us from cold weather, of course. So we get anxious about food and clothing because we do not want to lose physical pleasures or human praise or length of life. And to this, Jesus responds, if you are gripped by anxiety over these things, you have lost sight of the greatness of life. You want me to read that again? Because it's that good, right? Is that good? That's that good. If you are gripped by anxiety over these things, you have lost sight of the greatness of life. Life was not given primarily for physical pleasures, but for something much greater, the enjoyment of God. Life was not given primarily for the approval of man, but for something greater, the approval of God. Life was not even given primarily for extension on this earth, but for something greater, eternity with God in the age to come. We should not be anxious about food or clothing because food and clothing cannot provide the great things of life, which are the enjoyment of God, the pursuit of his gracious favor, and the hope of eternity in his presence. We get anxious about food and clothing to the same degree that we lose sight of the great purpose of God, of a God-centered life. Number two, the birds of the air work and count on God. The second reason Jesus gives for not being anxious is in verse 26. It says, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they?" What we see when we look at the birds is not a lesson in laziness. I think we can all agree on that. They dig for their worms. They grab their bugs. They build their nests. They do all those things that they need to do. But Jesus says it's God that feeds them. What we see when we look at the birds is a creature who does not act as though God is only a merciful provider for today, but won't be there tomorrow. Birds don't anxiously hoard things for the day of God's demise. They go about their work as though when the sun comes up tomorrow, God will still be God. So how much more then should we reckon the reality and mercy of God tomorrow, since we are not just basic birds, but children of our Heavenly Father? The biggest difference between a disciple of Jesus and a bird is that we have the capacity of honoring God by faith. And God values the exercise of our faith more than he values birds. So we should not be anxious because the birds have taught us that God can be counted on to work for us tomorrow just as much as today. Number three, anxiety does not get us anywhere. The third reason not to be anxious is in verse 27. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? The argument is very practical. Anxiety does get you anywhere. It doesn't do you any good whatsoever. Whatever problem is causing you to feel anxious, you can be sure anxiety will not lessen the problem. It will only amplify the problem. It will only make you miserable while you try to deal with it. So don't be anxious because it's useless. Fourth thing is this. God delights to adorn things. The fourth reason is in verses 28 through 30. It says, "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you or us of little faith? When you look at a flower, which has no will of its own to labor or spin, yet adorned with beautiful form and color, if you believe in God, you must draw at least one conclusion. God delights to adorn things. But if his delight finds expression in adorning grass, that's here today and gone tomorrow, then surely his delight in adornment will express itself in how he clothes his children. Amen. Someone may say, well, God has not adorned me. He has not adorned the poor Christians of our land overseas. And the question is, are you sure of that? Very few of us are dressed like Solomon. Well, some of us are pretty close. That's true, but we couldn't do our work if we were. I would only ask this question of all of us in the room. Where have you ever seen a disciple of Jesus who did not have the adornment he or she needed to do what God had called them to do? We have to be careful with that kind of thinking. Do not measure the perfection of God's provision by some standard below his calling. And do not forget that when we have finished carrying our crosses on torn shoulders in this life like Jesus, there will be kingly robes for us all. We have to remember, and this is hard for me, I confess, that our reward is not here, but in heaven. Unbelievers are anxious about food and clothing. I'm going to kind of run these two together. The fifth and sixth reasons why a follower of Jesus shouldn't be anxious are given in verse 32. We shouldn't be anxious about what we are to eat or drink or wear because pagans run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need these. Anxiety about the things of this world puts us on the same level with the world of unbelievers. And that was the life I was living for the last 3.5 months. It shows us that we are really very much like the world in what makes us happy. And that is not where we should be. Trying to find happiness in all the wrong places. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. It also shows that we do not think our Father in heaven knows our needs. And we shortchange God. It's like I was running around acting like I knew better. I was going to get out. I needed to do something because I knew better than God what was good for my life. And let me tell you, that didn't work out so well. Or perhaps we don't think he has the heart of a loving father. Anxiety shows that we are too close to the world and too far from God. So do not be anxious. The world has nothing eternal to offer. And your loving heavenly Father knows your needs now and forever. Yes. Number 7. God will carry our burdens if we first seek his honor. It's a foolish thing to carry anxious burdens that God has promised to carry for us. But how many of us do that all the time? Carry these burdens and anxiety needlessly. The 7th reason not to be anxious is in verse 33. Is that when you seek the kingdom of God first, he works for you and provides all your needs. The best reason to stop being anxious is that when we do, God starts being anxious for us. It is such a dumb thing to insist on carrying anxious burdens, which God has promised to carry for us, when we put his kingly honor first in everything that we do. And admittedly, as I've said already many times, I have a difficult time putting him first. Putting things before my relationship, whether that be work, trying to find more work, hobbies, interests, relationships, whatever. When you try to take over the wheel, it doesn't work. Number 8. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. The last argument in verse 34 says, therefore, do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. In other words, God has appointed to each day its portion of pleasure and trouble. And as your days, so shall your strength be. So do not misappropriate God's allotted troubles for tomorrow. Don't bring them forward into today in the form of anxiety. Believe that God will be God tomorrow. All right, Jesus does not want us, his followers, to be anxious. The main point of all this is clear and unmistakable. Jesus doesn't want his followers to be anxious. He does not secure his kingdom by keeping his subjects in a state of worry. It's on the contrary. According to verse 33, the more primary, the more central his sovereignty becomes in our lives, the less anxiety we will have. Jesus came, lived, died, rose from the dead, that he might reign as king over an anxiety. To overcome worry, we should adopt an attitude of joy and thankfulness, which I struggle with every day. There are so many things for which we can thank God for. When we focus on these things, God's peace guards our hearts and minds, no matter how difficult our circumstances may be. The call of God never takes us where the grace of God cannot sustain us. And we need to remember that. And that's one of the things that I struggle with. I got ahead of God. I got to the point where I thought I could do better. And I was living in anxiety. God can sustain us, does sustain us if we allow him to. He has promised to meet all of our needs and to guard us with his peace and joy. But the choice is ours. Anxiety is a problem that has troubled us through the ages. Fear in the face of critical situations is natural. We are human. However, much of our anxiety is associated with everyday problems. God wants to settle our hearts in such a way that we can live with the stresses of life, yet still experience his peace and joy. So, come to Jesus. Forsake all other allegiances. Take your vow of loyalty to the King of Kings. And let's seek him first in all we do and make known his sovereignty in our lives. This and this alone is the way to freedom from anxiety. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message by Wellspring of Life Church in Western Colorado. If you'd like to learn more about our community, please visit wellspringoflifechurch.com.